This is WLVR. It's time to Take 5 with Grover Silcox. Each week, he'll offer his insights and observations on life. Today,
Founding Tipplers. Just about everyone has seen the painting of George Washington and his men crossing the Delaware. Well, I have a question about that scene. Why is Washington standing up in that crowded rowboat while the rest of the crew, other than the flag bearer, is rowing and holding on for dear life? Methinks Emanuel Lutz, the artist, took some liberties. One fellow seated in the very back of the boat has an expression like, "Why doesn't someone tell George to sit down before this tub flips over?" But of course, who's going to question the towering Adonis of the Revolution? Someone once said, "You'd have to be sloshed to stand up in a rowboat while plowing through an ice-filled river." And then it hit me. That's it. Could that courage he showed been of the liquid variety? Washington wasn't any more of a drinker than his peers. Adams, Jefferson, Franklin, they all considered alcohol part of a healthy diet. In colonial times, only a lunatic would drink the water. Washington kept a hearty supply of Madeira port wine. He enjoyed 3 glasses each night before bed and possibly polished off 2 bottles in a day, and was especially fond of Philadelphia brewer Robert Hare's dark porter beer. And at Mount Vernon, he built the most successful distillery in the country. Why, in 1799 alone, he produced 11,000 gallons of whiskey. Washington reluctantly presided as president of the Constitutional Convention in 1787. Once the delegates finished drafting that August document, they threw a humdinger of a farewell party at the city tavern for General, soon to be U.S. President, Washington. 2 centuries later, astonished researchers discovered the tab. For the 55 people on the guest list, the bill totaled $15,000 in today's money. The tab covered the cost of 54 bottles of Madeira, 60 bottles of claret, wine, 8 bottles of whiskey, 22 bottles of porter, 8 of hard cider, 12 bottles of beer, 7 bowls of alcoholic punch. Thomas Jefferson, no slouch when it came to booze, imported 20,000 bottles of wine from France for his wine cellar. Records show that he and his guests at Monticello put away 1,203 bottles in 2 years. Of course, Jefferson eventually went broke, and some folks think his wine buying helped put him in the red. Now, Ben Franklin, wiser perhaps when it came to his money, also appreciated the spirits. It's rumored he once said, quote, "Beer is living proof that God loves us and wants us to be happy," unquote. But, of course, always pragmatic, he savored the usefulness of a good beverage. Case in point, 1747, he led a delegation from Philadelphia to meet with New York's governor, George Clinton. They were hoping the governor would loan them cannons for Philadelphia's defense. According to Franklin, the governor refused at first. Quote, "But at dinner with his council, where there was great drinking of Madeira wine, he softened by degrees and said he would lend us 6. After a few more bumpers, he added to 10, and at length he very good-naturedly conceded 18. You know, it's amazing what a good bumper will do. Fact is, our founding fathers figured how to fight a revolution and form a more perfect union over quite a few bumpers of brew. We owe a barrel full of thanks to those taverns of old for providing the spirits of 76 and the social environment in which our forefathers changed the world. So let us lift a glass, as the delegates did at that festive farewell in Philadelphia, with a toast for, as they said, the Commander-in-Chief of the American Armed Forces," unquote, and a little modern-day thanks that a bit of tippling didn't tip him over as he stood steadfast and upright all the way across the Delaware on that frosty Christmas night in 1776.
Lehigh Valley Public Media's Grover Silcox. Find out more by visiting wlvr.org/take5. This is WLVR.